Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Would you kindly help me be a geek? Friel? You don't need our help. Yes, I do. This is Wretched Radio. It is mailbag day, not our traditional mailbag day, but we are dedicating the entire week to stuff you send to idea@wretched.org. And I am encouraging you, pleading with you, please send stuff so I can geek out. For instance, Jimmy, this was sent to me. It's actually a doctoral thesis from a fellow at Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary from 2022. And it's about this generation. No, not Gen Z's. Talking about in Matthew chapter 24, 34, this generation will not pass away until these things happen.
Yeah.
Who's that generation? It is a total geek out. I don't know how long this thing is. It's super long. And I read every single word. I don't know that we'll ever be able to get into it here on Wretched Radio, but it's like, oh, that's really clever. And a Greek word study, whatever it is that you think is geeky, I will feast on it if you send it to idea@wretched.org. And if you got to yourself some questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, or Peter Brady called. He wants his voice back. Please send it to 877-282-2337.
All right, we start with a question, a text from Anonymous. Todd, my past haunts me. I was pregnant before marriage when I was young. We got married because I was pregnant. He was abusive, so I divorced him. Mm. I got married again at 25 and was married for almost 13 years. However, he grew drugs in our home and became an addict. I divorced him. I was baptized when I was 12 but didn't follow Jesus. Now I have a relationship with him and follow him. I am remarried once again, according to the Bible. This time, I have begged God for forgiveness, but my past still haunts me. I believe I am a new creation in Christ and understand what my vows mean. However, am I forgiven?
Yes. If you've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ, it was declared from heaven, forgiven. And your slate, incidentally, wasn't merely made clean. You're not just forgiven. Not to minimize forgiveness, it's kind of massive. But you are more than forgiven. It's not like God just erased your rap sheet. Instead, he took Jesus' resume and put it on your file so that you aren't just seen as forgiven. You are seen as the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. You are called as a saint. You are a Christ one. You're a new creation. That is who you are. And nobody, including yourself, should be thinking that your past has somehow separated you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So it's a definitive, absolutely, if you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. That is the glory of the cross. Now, how can you get to that place? Because me just saying it one time, it might help you grab something and go, okay, that's a good thought, but maybe that just hasn't erased all of the memories, the shame and the guilt, and you still feel that burden on your back that Jesus has already taken for you. How do you get over it? That's the question. I would encourage you to focus on particular things. I would encourage you. This is where Bible reading for need, I think, is so important. Right now, this woman has a need. She still feels the burden of her sins. She still feels perhaps shame, guilt, regrets. How do you get rid of those things? The answer is you focus on the attributes of God that support the fact that Jesus Christ forgives all sins. He's the merciful, beneficent Savior. He's generous. He's filled with loving kindness and mercy. You go read about that in your Bible. You go read about that Jesus right there. Listen to sermons that are about the goodness of God and the expansive nature of His saving grace. Read about those things because that's where you're at right now. And that's always an excellent way to read the Bible. It's always an excellent way to download information about God because you're going to apply it. Sometimes we can hear something really great and it just, there it is, it's up in your brain, but it doesn't do anything for you. Well, when you have a need and you are consuming what addresses that need, you're more likely to work hard to appropriate that, to meditate on that, to chew on your Bible, to consume God's word. Though, read for need. Hey, that's a book. That could be, that's in Lifeway. I'm sure no, Lifeway doesn't have a bookstore anymore. The point is, that's got a evangelical bestseller written all over it. Read for need. Now, that isn't necessarily the only way that you want to study your Bible or consume sermons, but isn't that what theology is for? Really? Isn't that what it's for? To ultimately help you love the Lord more? To enjoy Him more? That's the purpose of theology. So go find those sermons. Go listen to that type of preacher. Christ exalting, sinner forgiving preaching. Read about the wonderful attributes of God and think about how amazing He must be that He would forgive a sinner like thee, and especially me. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, my husband and I recently found out that the assistant pastor at our church was released from ministry due to inappropriate relationships with other women, not his wife. However, the congregation was told in a service that he was stepping down due to another reason. We feel betrayed that there was a lie told to us by our pastor from the pulpit, but I really don't know how this should have been handled differently.
Okay, my question would be, do you know definitively it was a lie? And the only way to know that is to go to the source. And so if you feel potentially like there's a possibility that the pastor was deceptive, which I got to tell you, there's a line between lying and discretion. I can understand perhaps practicing some discretion. I think a much stronger biblical argument can be made for full transparency. It just saves any tap dancing. It just saves any, well, we can't, we, what were we going to say about that with the situation and the guy who did the, just being transparent. That's the path that I think is better. But I understand discretion. So you're going to have to go to the source and ask him, hey, this was our understanding. This is what you said. Could you harmonize those two for us and explain that? Don't accuse, don't point a finger, because you don't know. You're going to be seeing the other side. And that's the only way you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your pastor was lying, because well, that's a big accusation there. That's kind of a whopper right there. So you're going to want to go to the source himself, pray about it, do your homework without it turning into a gossip fest, and then lovingly and respectfully approach him. And then you'll know the truth, and you can make decisions based on that. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, do you believe that God still speaks to us? For example, is it worthwhile to practice sitting in silence and listening for God's voice?
This is not popular these days in evangelicalism, but absolutely God speaks to you through His word, through His people, when they are using the Bible for the information that they're sharing with you. Should you sit quietly and listen for God's voice? I don't see that command given in Scripture. I don't see that encouragement given in Scripture. Furthermore, our brains are tricky little things, aren't they? I can have a conversation, I think, with God. I can do that. I could manufacture a conversation right now with anybody and have them speaking full paragraphs. I can. So can you. My question would be, how do you know it's God? And if then you have to read a book that spends 200 pages, how to discern the voice of God, I would be skeptical of that. I would be so leery of that. It's like, well, shouldn't it be simpler than that? And I think the answer is yes, it is simpler. Everything we need for life and godliness is found in this book. Everything. Everything. So if 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is to be believed, that all scripture, all of it, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, instruction, everything, for everything, that the man of God might be equipped for every good work, then there's no necessity for additional communication from God. And we need to then understand, I think, I get it. It's like, well, I'd kind of like some specific instructions. Well, you've got specific instructions. You just need to go find them in that book, get wise, godly, biblical counsel. And then you're being guided by God. Then you're being led by the Holy Spirit. And we should be thrilled that we get all of that and be satisfied. Wow, God has spoken. It's in His Word. He's spoken to us through His Son. In the past, He did those things. But today, He has spoken to us through His Son. And we should be totally content and downright thrilled with that. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And in Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission? Well, it takes resources, and that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church.
His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another example. This is Wretched Radio. Thank you very much for sending wretched things to idea@wretched.org. For instance, from church leaders, it's a Barna survey. Another sign, something is going on with young people in America. I'm telling you, if you go to a university campus and engage with virtually any student, you're going to hear it. You're going to feel it. There is a stirring. I'm not saying that it's a Holy Spirit stirring. It could be in some instances, but I'm saying there's a stirring in that people on campus are having questions and doubts about the worldview that they have been fed, and they are looking for something better, as well they should. That is why if you're a local church and you're near a university campus, please become a campus ministry. Please. And have a regular presence on that campus. It will be some of the most gratifying ministry your church will ever do. Or your money back. Here's a sign. Barna data. Young adults lead a resurgence in church attendance. Mostly young males, but millennials and Gen Z are driving a resurgence in church attendance. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they got saved and they're coming in. It doesn't mean they're going to get saved when they get there, but it means they're coming. And it's just, to me, another demonstration. If you've been afraid to evangelize because you thought that maybe the person you were talking to would get agitated with you, it could happen. It really could. I think it maybe is 2% of the time. If I had to pick a number, it's well under 10% of the time. Well under 10% of the time. You're going to get somebody who's like, nah. And by the way, that shouldn't hurt a lot. I know it does. Hey, could I talk to you about your soul? Not interested. Okay. They didn't just say something nasty about your heritage. They just said no. Move on to the next one, because I think about 95, 98% of the time, they will talk to you and they will listen. All we got to do is go and send things to idea@wretched.org. That's all we got to do. Just go and evangelize and send stuff. That's it. That's the list. Just two boxes to check. Go and evangelize and send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. Did you just sniff into your microphone?
I thought I turned it off.
You had to get your spit under control.
No, it was a sniff.
I have to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
No, not the sniff.
No.
Getting my spit under control.
Oh, you spit everywhere when you talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
You take your mic cover home and wash it from time to time, don't you?
I do it right here.
Okay.
In the sink with super hot water and lots of soap. It takes a long time. I burn my hands like nobody's business, but you got to do it, because otherwise you can get repulsed by your own spit. Trust me. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Alex. Todd Assurance. Sorry about that. Assurance has been a real struggle for me. Recently, I've been studying 1 John for biblical evidence of true faith and repentance. However, I find myself failing miserably at the tests of faith in 1 John. I try to rest in Christ so I can bear good fruit, but how can I rest if it seems I'm not even regenerated?
Well, I'd want to spend more time talking to you about that. 1 John is there because it does include no less than 10 questions, tests, if you will, to determine if you're genuinely saved. I mean, it's there. We use it. It's edifying. By the way, has lots of good Christology inside of it. But simultaneously, I think that we need to remember other teachings in the Bible, because if you use the test in 1 John strictly, you're going to hell, because ain't nobody matching that standard. Nobody, not know how. Because if you really take a look at any of those, for instance, you say that you're a Christian, you don't love your brother, then you're not. How can the love of God be in you? You just say, be well, be fed, and you don't help him? That is not the mark of a Christian. Okay, now, do I hate my brothers? No, I can't think of anybody I hate, actually. I can't think of anybody that I hate. But that is not, but if I want to keep digging in on that, it's more than just not hating. It is to love my brother. We're commanded to love one another. Again, more 1 John. Okay, so now the standard is I need to love my brothers. And how intensely am I supposed to love them? The answer is, as much as I love myself, I'm not going to be able to accomplish that. I don't have that much loving because most of it goes to me because I love me. And I don't love the brothers and the sisters as much as I love myself. And therefore, I'm not a Christian. Uh-oh, that's a problem. We want to make sure that we see the mark of a Christian is you're not hating people and you're loving them as best you can where you're at with the resources that you've got, but you're never going to be able to do it perfectly. You're just not. And that shouldn't discourage you. So use those tests, but maybe a better way to ask the question is, do I love the brethren more today than I did 5 years ago? And if your answer to that is no, there's two options. One of them could be that is a sign you're not saved, but I wouldn't use that one mark to make that declaration. Second of all, it could be that it's an area you need to get to work on. That's what sanctification is. And it could just be that you've been negligent in that regard. Perhaps you've been selfish, whatever it is. You can get to work on that. So be careful. Use those tests, but use them thoughtfully, recognizing you're never going to meet the standard, ever. Jesus did, you get the credit. So there's two questions that I think you can ask that are better than, am I meeting that standard? Because the answer is no, you're not. Nobody would be a Christian then. We know that's not right. So I think a better question is, am I doing better today than yesterday or 5 years ago or 10 years ago? That's a good one. Here's the second question that is also, I think, really helpful. How much do I want to obey that? How much do I want to be doing that? I really do want to be loving the brethren, Lord. I really, really do. That's a better sign than are you doing it perfectly? You got any more to that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would just say First John's not about the tests in First John. It's not about perfection. It's about your direction, how you're doing. He's talking about walking in light and walking in darkness. And so he's not saying, do you ever stumble? He's saying, he's saying, what road are you on? You're just looking at
markers,
how you're doing. Yeah, it's not, if I ever do this, it's over.
Yeah, because if you just take it at face value, nobody would say they passed. Nobody. Now, what do you do with that? So everybody's condemned? Certainly not. Furthermore, John, if you had to pick all of the pastor, all of the letters that were written in the New Testament, I think John was probably the most pastoral. He's the disciple of love. And so he's not going to write something that shipwrecks people's faith. He's writing to encourage them. So if you can look at your life and go, you know what? I used to not have a really good attitude about brothers and sisters, but now, you know, I guess I do like hanging out with them. Boom, there you go. Now, you can stop right there on the examination scale, because if you use the next step on the examination scale, that's when you're going to fall down, go boom. Am I doing it perfectly? Oh, no, I'm not a Christian. But you still can ask that question to say, am I doing it to the max that I can? The answer is no. All right, Lord, keep growing me, keep showing me, keep teaching me, keep empowering me so that I can love the brethren the way that, you know, you do. So be a little bit more, is retrospective correct? Just I think a little bit more thorough in how you ask those questions. Otherwise, you're going to be really bummed out. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kayla. Todd, our pastor and his wife have seemingly out of nowhere decided that women shouldn't be teaching women. They say they're sorting it out, trying to be more biblical, but thus far it's a private matter. Our regular women's Bible study came to a halt a few months ago when this idea arose. It's had a personal impact on me. Can you help me understand if their stance has any biblical basis at all?
I understand what they're driving for. I do. I suspect most churches don't even ponder this subject, and that is who's qualified to do what, because it's like, do we have a warm body for the seventh graders? Get in there. A lot of churches are that way, maybe by necessity, maybe by neglect, but we should be thinking about who's qualified to do the teaching in the church. And they, it seems, They're striving for a high standard. So I look at that. Now, this is not a judgment call on their decision, but I look at that and say, props to you. It sounds like, unless they're legalists in the correct sense of the word, it sounds like they're just striving. And so I applaud that. Now, of course, the question is, who's the arbiter who determines? And the answer to that is the Bible. What do I see there? Titus 2, that women are to teach women. Now, in that context, it's in the home, not in the church. But specifically, the admonition for women in teaching, it's over men. That's not a prohibition over people, that women shouldn't teach women. No, it's a church authority and structure and order issue. So historically, at least in evangelicalism, women have taught women. I don't agree with where they perhaps arrived at their destination, but I applaud their desire to be godly and biblical about it. What should you do about it? Keep talking to them. Keep loving them. Keep respecting them. Keep engaging with them. And if it comes down to this issue, should you leave the church? I don't think this would rise to that level. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.